Hello, and welcome to the CISC podcast. In each edition of this series, you'll have the chance to meet a CISC staff member or other educational professional involved with the CISC community. We think you will find these podcasts of great value as a variety of people share their unique insights in their respective fields. Now, please enjoy this edition of the podcast as our host, Bob Kretzmer, speaks with our guest.
The CISC Property and Liability Program is fortunate to have significant partnerships that enhance and bring great value to the services we offer our membership. One of these partners is Lori Hunter of Worldwide Facilities, the CISC Excess Liability Insurance Broker. Our program relies heavily on Lori to educate management on the forces and trends affecting markets. Further, Lori serves CISC by recommending changes to our insurance program that will not only reduce cost, but help reduce loss exposures. Never before has Lori's role been more important to our organization. In the age of increased transportation risks, sexual abuse and molestation exposures, as well as an increase in claims for traumatic brain injury, the cost of insurance is increasing. I recently was able to sit and have a conversation with Lori regarding the current state of affairs related to the excess liability insurance market and its relationship to the CISC program. Here is that conversation. Lori, it's always great to see you, and thank you for taking the time to be with us here at CISC today.
Thank you, Bob.
Lori, can you give me an explanation? What is your role as the excess broker for the CISC program?
So as the excess broker, our role begins with gathering information from CISC about their members that we can put into a format to present to insurance companies that might consider providing excess insurance for the CISC members. So we work with CISC to ask them for information such as number of vehicles, loss history, all kinds of exposures that the CISC members may have. And then we put that information together, we send it to the insurance companies, and that's where we start negotiating coverage terms and pricing.
Are the number of companies, particularly with respect to California, have they diminished over the last several years? Are they growing? What does the market look like in that respect? Are there plenty of options available for public entities?
So in today's environment in California, especially from a liability standpoint, there are fewer options today than there have been in the past. And that's a result of the litigious environment that we're in here in the state of California in particular. So there might be approximately the same number of insurance companies that provide liability insurance to schools in California now, but the issue is that in the past, those insurance companies may have been willing to provide limits of $10 million per company or $11 million or $15, $20 million. And now most of these companies are only able to provide a limit of $5 million or less. So that creates a big challenge for schools in California, because as you can imagine, if you're a pool and you want to buy, say, a $50 million limit, today it may take 10 different insurance companies to get up to that $50 million limit, whereas in past years, it might have only been three different insurance companies that could have provided that total of $50
million. In general, Lori, are other states experiencing the same sort of pressures, or are we unique here in California?
We're fairly unique in California. There are a few other states that have a climate that is as difficult as it is here in California. Illinois would be one of those states, and New York would be another one.
As we sit here today, if we had to pick just a couple factors that most influence the insurance markets in terms of the types of claims that are causing these increases in premium, what would you say are a couple of the top factors?
So for schools in California, I would say the three top factors of exposures that insurance companies are trying to avoid or have paid extreme losses on. One would be transportation. So if you picture bus fleets that are carrying large numbers of students from location to location, that's a huge exposure for insurance companies and for schools. And that exposure helps drive liability pricing upwards. A second issue would be the abuse and molestation claims that not only schools are seeing, but organizations like the Boy Scouts or other nonprofit organizations have seen a tremendous rise in the reporting of abuse claims, and then the rise in judgments when those cases go to trial. And then the third area of great concern for schools is traumatic brain injury. And concussion has been a huge issue with contact sports. And there have been several large cases in the state of California where concussion injuries have resulted in awards that are upwards of $20 million. So those are three very difficult areas when you're talking about insuring excess liability for schools.
Now, I know you've been an excess broker for more than just a few years, Lori, but over the last 20 years, what do you think has been the most significant change in how you approach your work as a broker?
So I think the most significant change is that if you go back even 10 years, the negotiations between insurance brokers and insurance companies were done more on a face-to-face basis, where we would meet insurance company underwriters with members of CISC and discuss the risks and be able to have some good conversation about why CISC members are a good risk for insurance companies, what CISC members are doing in terms of risk management to try to lower their risk. And in today's world, the insurance has become really more data-driven. There's so much more data that's available to insurance companies today that rather than having a narrative conversation about the risks of CISC members, what insurance companies are doing now is they're just looking at the numbers. So today, the amount of information that we have to supply to insurance companies has gotten to be overwhelming. As an example, years ago, we would be able to tell the insurance companies that as a pool, CISC members had approximately 3,000 buses on the road or 2,500 other vehicles. And today, insurance company underwriters want that broken down. They want to see how many passengers are each of those buses carrying. What is the use of the non-bus vehicle fleet? And they'd like to see that data by member. So being data-driven is the biggest change that I've seen.
I'm asked this question frequently by our member districts. They want to know individually, as a district, what can they do to help reduce loss exposure, which hopefully leads to a reduction in premium. And sometimes that is a difficult question to answer, given the circumstances that we're currently in with those three major factors of transportation, sexual abuse, molestation, and traumatic brain injury being the main drivers. But if I was to say something back to a district asking that question, can you think of anything as a broker that I could point them in the direction to help reduce loss exposure?
So, sure. For transportation, it's a little bit more black and white, I think. If a district owns their own and operates their own vehicles, then they're going to want to have a really strong vehicle maintenance program. And if they're hiring drivers for those vehicles, they're going to want to have strict standards in terms of what sort of MVR record they're allowing when they hire new drivers and doing background checks on those drivers. So vehicle maintenance and driver safety are two key factors with the transportation risk. With sexual abuse, it's very much about hiring practices, doing background checks, not only for educators, but so many of the sexual abuse claims that we see in the school arena come from non-educators. They could be bus drivers, they could be coaches, they could be volunteers. And having a strong practice of doing background checks and making sure that all employees, not just educators, have good backgrounds, and also to create an environment where reporting of suspicious behavior can be done anonymously and safely. Because so many of the abuse claims that we see are a result, or at when the investigation is done, we find out that somebody knew that there was something amiss and was just hesitant to report it. So having a safe reporting structure is really an important factor. And then for the concussion and traumatic brain injury risk, you know, making sure that all sports programs are following concussion protocols to the letter. And also, if each school or district can recommend or purchase concussion insurance for the students, that's also a good risk management tool.
All of us want stability in the markets. And as we look to the future, I was going to ask you, what do you see? Do you see increased volatility, or do you think we're approaching a time where there's some hope of having stability in sight?
Well, it's a good, really good question, Bob. I was listening to a webinar this past week that was being conducted by Lloyd's of London, and it was about the state of the excess liability insurance market. And the consensus of the underwriters and brokers that were on this call was that in the state of California specifically, that we're still going to experience instability. And that is being driven by what is being termed social inflation. And we're just in an environment where the public feels that someone else always must be responsible for an injury. And when they see a deep pocket, such as a school or pool of schools, where there's insurance money behind that entity, then the awards and judgments have just become out of sight. So what 10 years ago would have been a $500,000 claim today is more like a $5 to $10 million claim. And there's no end in sight for social inflation. And one of the reasons behind that is because since about 2017, there have been private equity firms that have been funding litigation. And this has increased the number of lawsuits that are happening, and it's increased the judgments. And without an end to that in sight, or without some sort of governmental immunity reform, I'm sorry to say, I think that the marketplace will still be volatile.
As a follow-up to that, Lori, are CISC member districts experiencing about the same level of volatility as districts elsewhere in the state, or even across the country, or are we unique with respect to our volatility level?
So CISC members are definitely experiencing the same level of volatility as other pools and other districts. And that is because of the legal environment in California. Different states are not so volatile. So to give you a sense of the market, the excess liability market, there are approximately 10 different insurance carriers who readily will provide excess liability coverage for schools. But in California, that number reduces pretty quickly to about a half to two-thirds of that number. And it's because of the legal environment in California that insurance companies just don't want to take the risk of insuring schools in this state.
Well, Lori, you've been such a great partner to CISC, and we appreciate all of the advice and counsel that you give on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And just wanted to thank you again for taking the time to have this conversation with us today. And we look forward to working with you much more as we navigate this insurance pathway. So thank you.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate the partnership with CISC.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the CISC podcast and greatly appreciate you listening to our show. Please check the CISC property and liability website at cisc.kern.org for a complete listing of podcast topics under the property and liability tab. Until next time, stay safe as we continue with the CISC mission of schools helping schools.
Production facilities for the CISC podcast are provided by KETN, a service of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools.